the 11 o'clock service was something special for me and my wife. The brother got up and sung and just started plowing my heart. And then Miss Haynes and Amy got up, plowed my heart some more. And then Pastor brought it all together with that sermon. And, when people aren't sitting here in the pews when they should be, they miss that stuff. They miss what God has for them. They miss what God's saying. And you couldn't give me $1 million not to be in this pew at that 11 o'clock service this morning. I mean, it's just what I need. It's what I need to hear. And if I wasn't here, I couldn't hear it. It breaks my heart. But God's got to break people, not me. I'm not God. I can't act like I'm God. I used to try to act like I was God to my wife and try to convict her, convince her, and it didn't work so well. When God does it, He does just as good a job. And so I just pray the Lord would start changing hearts here. People want to be in here and hear the Word of God. It has nothing to do with me. You can take me away from here, put somebody else here, they still won't be here.
Amen.
You see? So anyway, I just got a little announcement. Me and Jim were talking. For all those of us who have kids, if we could just please, I already had a talk with my children, to please tell them to stop taking the covers off the window wells back there. They're to stay on. They are not to be off and thrown around the yard. I had Randy put them back on. There was three of them thrown across the yard. Yeah, the big gray thing. So I'm just saying, let's be more mindful of our children. Our children, I say, not just yours, ours. That's mine as well. And it's my responsibility to make sure my children aren't the ones doing it. And I'll make sure that if we all could just do that, things would be good. It'll work out just fine. What I'm going to preach here today may cause some controversy, but that's okay. Jesus did every time He spoke something. He caused controversy. But it was always right. It was always so. I'm not preaching anything that's not in the Bible. It is of the Bible. It's where I got the message from that the Holy Ghost sat down with me and gave it to me, and I'm just going to preach it. And if it offends anybody, I'm glad, because that's what God's job is. That's what He wants. He wants conviction. He wants people to have a changed heart. He wants people to have a changed mind. And so when somebody's up here preaching that word, like what Pastor preached to me, I felt that, I'm going to say it, I felt like he was preaching right to me and my wife, really. And that, what was it? Was he, though? He didn't sit up here and point out no sins or this and that, but he preached the word of God. It got me.
Amen.
Scott, why? Because God knows what I do.
That's good.
And so I stand here today, and I'm going to preach this, and we're going to let God run away with it. It's His message, not mine. Thank God that I'm not in charge of messages, because I can mess things up pretty well. And thank God that I'm not in charge of anybody's life except for my wife and my kids, because I can mess people's life up very well. When Dale Morey stands here, when Dale Morey goes out there and visits people, if I do it on myself, you better believe everything's going to be messed up.
Right.
I need to go in the power of God. I need to go with His leading. And again, of course, I'm going through something, but you know what? I know why I'm going through it. The Bible says, I can't say it as good as past, eschew evil. As soon as He said that, I read that. Me and my wife looked at each other. We're like, wow.
Yeah.
I have stuff in my life that needs to go. And the Lord is no longer happy with the stuff that that we may be doing, or what my wife is doing. He's not happy. He's not allowing that to happen anymore. So we have to get that out of our life. And I'm glad God convicted me and not man. When man convicts me, I get mad. God convicts me, I'm like, phew. I better just go ahead and say, so anyway, we're going to start in Nehemiah. I did get some fresh water. I had to get it out of the toilet. No, I'm just kidding. Nehemiah 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. And I think it's going to be a good time as long as the Lord's here and I'm not in it.
Amen.
Nehemiah 8, verses 1 through 12. Yeah, I put a title on this one. It's called Honoring God's Book, the King James Bible. Honoring His book. And the more I get into it, the more we'll see what's going on here. I think that, even in the Baptist circles, man, people have lost the honor of a King James Bible.
Right.
They've lost the respect of it. I mean, there's no more do they reverence the King James Bible like it used to be and such. And people have really just walked away from that. Well, we're going to see what the Lord has to say. Nehemiah 8, starting in verse 1, it says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel.
Amen.
And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and that's not all, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. Verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people that were attentive unto the book of the law. Verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood again in the pulpit of wood. How's that? Which they made for this purpose. And besides him stood, I can't say the names very well, so just bear with me, Medahiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkah, and Maaseiah, and his right hand, and on his left hand, Padiah, Mishael, Malchiah, and Hashem, Hashbandana, Zechariah, Methusalem. That's the best I can do. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and he opened it. And all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, and Amen, with lifting of hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, and Bani, and Shebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebithai, Hodajai, Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Johazbad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people, the book of the law, caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, I like that, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites taught the people and said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, weep nor weep, for all people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fruit and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Verse 11. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And my last verses, and all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and make mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them.
Amen.
And so we're going to start off. I'm going to just expound on verses 1 through 12. So just bear with me as I go through this. You may not understand it, but by the time I get to the end of the point, hopefully the Lord will give you understanding of what point I'm trying to make. And we're going to read all. It says, we see here in Nehemiah 8, verses 1 and 2, that they opened the book of the law of Moses. In their possession, they knew they had something valuable, the very word of God. It says that all men and women and all with understanding came together to hear the word of God and hear what God had to say. They came together as an assembly to hear the word of God. And as we believers are to do the same.
Amen.
They all came. It says that the men and the women and all could have understanding. They all came. And they all wanted to hear what was in that word. And they all gathered together. Now what's it say in Hebrews 10:25? It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. Church is the place where we learn the things of God from the word of God.
Right.
How else do we learn things? Yes, we do readings at home and such like that. But I'm just going to tell you, I get convicted at home when I read my Bible. But when the Lord sends a man of God up here to preach the word, I get convicted like that. I know he's serious.
Amen.
It's just confirmation to something I already knew, being ignorant, trying to be a little baby. The man of God gets up here out of the King James Bible, doesn't know what's going on in my life very much, and he just has to preach conviction on me. I mean, that's just it right there. I know God is getting pretty serious about this thing,
right.
And I need to start taking it very serious. And that's what these people here did. They all came. They didn't say anybody fought and made complainings and all this stuff. They went. They wanted to hear what it had to say. 2 Timothy 4:1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Rebuke, exhort, and with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. I told my Sunday school class today, even amongst our Baptist churches today, there are people turning to programs, NIVs, and everything else, and they're getting rid of doctrine.
That's right.
Bringing in magicians and musicians, and I mean, this all this garbage. And you know what? They think it's really going to attract all these people, and all this is corrupting them. Now you can't get that person to go and hear some good preaching. Now you can't get them to go there and sit in a tent meeting. You can't go get them to go sit there in a special meeting, because they're going to have somebody entertaining them.
That's right.
Entertaining them. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. I can tell you right now, as Pastor told me, he gave me some good advice. He said, anybody can preach in season. It's when you're out of season.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I'm out of season, just to let you know. I have to rely on God for just about every moment of my life right now, because I'm out of season. But I didn't run. I'm not doing a Jonah. The Lord called me to preach. I'm going to preach.
Amen.
I'm not going to do a Jonah. I'm not going to have that heart of Jonah and run, because it's only going to make it worse. I'm not, because last night I had the stomach bug, me and Luke, and been tired and cranky and all this kind of stuff. I'm not going to not come sit in the church. Amen. I'm not going to not come hear what the Word of God has to tell me. Then I get up early this morning and still read my Bible. Didn't go to sleep till late. Was up all night with a stomach ache. I still got up in enough time to read and pray.
Amen.
Why would I put him on the back burner when I'm going through things? I feel like he's left me, but I can guarantee you this, he hasn't.
Amen.
He hasn't. The reason why I'm feeling the way I am is because of him. And because I have something in my life. Now, he says confess your faults. I don't have to confess my sins with you. God knows what it is. But he knows that I have sins in my life, that he no longer is me and Amy allowed to do these things. So how else would he show me? When our children do something wrong, we have to show them, hey, this is why you did wrong, this is your punishment. Why wouldn't God do that to me? Right. I'm his child.
Amen.
If I don't understand, he's going to give me understanding. In or out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Right.
But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears.
Right.
I'm not going to say people's names, but I know people that have walked up to me and said, hey, and I'm not, it's not in this church, but they've walked up to me and said, hey man, there's some good sermons in here if you want to preach them to your children or, you know, to your teens or 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And they're handing me a booklet. I'm sorry, I don't use that. I don't use commentaries. I don't use anything else for the King James Bible. That's just me.
Right.
Why? I don't want the itching ears. I don't want what somebody else is teaching. I don't want somebody else to look. I want what God is going to teach me and what God is showing me out of this world. That's why I want to get up here and preach. What he's showing me, not what he showed somebody else.
That's
where the power's at. Will you get up here and take the word of God and not listen to other people? And our pastor has wisdom. He knows people. We can hear and we can listen. But you know what? We also have to go in the Bible and we have to make sure. Is that right? Is that lining up?
Yeah.
That's just what we have to do. If you're not going home and checking out people after they get up here and preach, there's problems.
That's right.
Check it out with the Word. And it might be just somebody made a mistake.
Yeah.
They didn't mean to say what they said or whatever. I've done it.
Yeah.
I got up here and swore. Remember when I said the cuss word the one time? That's a mistake. Well, people do that. Somebody might get up here preaching and be on fire. Boom, let something come out. And you go, hey, you know, you said that. Oh, man, I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Yeah, you're right. Thank you for telling me that. Or you have the other type that goes, yep, I meant that. I believe that. You go, look at it. Now you know.
Yeah, that's right.
But watch. Listen to this. Oh, excuse me. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Fables. You know what fables are? NIVs, ASVBs,
right.
Whatever other B you want to use, all them other perversions, them are fables. They're pulling the blood of Jesus Christ out. They're pulling Jesus Christ. They're pulling the cross out. They're pulling salvation out. They're pulling God out. They're taking all that stuff. You know what that means? It's a fable. It's not true. The NIVs and all that are not true. I don't believe. I know there's a big controversy about it, that people can get saved in a NIV Bible. Sorry, I don't believe that. I studied one, and it never changed. It's so not an inkling in me. I read and read and read at NIV, and you know what? It did nothing to me. And then finally, somebody gave me a King James Bible, and finally, I started reading. And even as an unsaved person, I started changing things in my life because of the power that's in that book. But it never happened to me with the NIV, ever. Them were fables. They're fables. That's what man wants to put down. Why? Because it allows them to live any way they want.
Right.
You don't have to get rid of sin and NIV and all the other perversions. You can live any way you want.
Yeah.
Go ahead, it's fine. Come to church and raise your hands and shake your booty to the drums and everything else going on. And then, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell you if you're a Christian or not a Christian.
Right.
You dress the same and all that garbage. It ain't nothing happening to you.
Right.
The Bible says you will change. You have a holy home. Listen, understand. If you don't understand it, I'm going to say this. You have a holy God living inside of you. How can you not change?
Amen.
I understand you got to fight the old man. I understand that because I go through it myself. But how can you not change?
Amen.
That means you're making Jesus weak. Jesus, oh man, he ain't weak. Listen, if he had the strength enough to save me, he is not weak.
Yeah.
And I'm not the worst person in this world. There's people out there that make me look like a dummy compared to things I've done and all that. But I wasn't a goody two-shoe either. And you know what? He went to that cross for Dale Moore just like he did for anybody else.
Amen.
And I'm just telling you now, he's the power and the blood. There's power. There's power. Why? Because you get washed. You get washed. That's what it says. Washed in the blood. Are you washed in the blood? What's washing mean? That means you're getting clean.
Amen.
Right.
That means you're getting clean. Well, what's that cleaning? Your mouth, your ears, your eyes, your brain, your heart, the way you dress, walk, talk. That's what's washing. Don't claim salvation if you ain't changing. You missed it. It's all
right.
At least admit that you missed it. That way God can deal with you and get you right. That's
Amen.
What he wants. Why? Because it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Who? All should come to repentance. Who? All should come to repentance. It's not his will that any should perish.
Amen.
Your choice. He left that choice up to people. Oh, why does God throw people in hell? He does not throw people in hell. They choose to go there.
That's right.
He gave the answer. Here's the answer. Right here. Well, they reject it. Well, he said if you reject him, he's going to reject you in front of the Father. Guess what? You have one judgment. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. And you know what? Quite frankly, you don't have to believe it for it to be true. That's the sad thing. You don't have to believe it for it to be true.
Right.
But when you wake up one day and them flames are around you, you're going to be begging. I think worse than the guy Lazarus there, and the rich man. That rich man begged just for somebody to stick his hand in the water and put it on his tongue.
Right.
They shall turn away their ears from the truth. They shall be turned to fables. But watch now all things, not some, all things. Endure afflictions. You know, something me and my wife talked about the other day. It may not be true, it may be true. I don't know. It's just something we observed. Between the 2.5 to 3 year mark of a new Christian, usually there's a couple things that happen. They either turn away because it gets too much, or they turn over to them fables and start going out to them other garbage churches, or they just don't do anything at all. That's what happens to Christians when they... Why? They're told to endure afflictions and they don't get it.
That's right.
They just... And they're gone. Gone. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Listen to me. We need Bible. Not apps, not computers, not commentaries, and everything else. But a King James Bible in our hand, page on page, line on line, precept upon precept. If we, the people of God, will compromise the carrying of the Bible into the house of God and carry instead a man-made device, what else are we willing to compromise on?
That's right.
What else? What else are we willing to compromise on? Every church, we've been to Philadelphia, we've been to quite a few places this year, Pastor, and guess what I see? People are missing this. They're carrying cell phones and everything else in place of a Bible. If you'll do that in the house of God, what are you doing in your own house?
Yeah.
Compromise. Compromise. I'm just telling you, this guy here who was preaching, how was he preaching? He opened the book. Can't open the book.
Right.
Tell you, it's controversy, but you know, this is how I feel. That's how I see it in the Word of God.
Yeah.
I believe God would be more offended for us to turn that way than to go ahead and just carry a King James Bible with it. Is somebody ashamed of it? Has America really become that ashamed to carry a King James Bible with them? That's the new trend.
That's right.
Just saying. I seen preachers up here with them in their hand.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, I may print the Bible out here so I can read it for bigger because I just can't get used to the glasses. But that's as far as I go. You can ask my wife as a testimony. We used to read off the computer, eSword and all that stuff and just never touch our Bible. And I'm just going to tell you what. We both got tore out the frame by God. We both just said, you know what? There's never any power in that. Then when we started picking up this Bible again, am I right, Amy, or am I lying? I'm not lying. There's power in this book.
Right.
I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Nehemiah 8, 3 and 4 says, and he read therein before the street and was before the water gate from the morning until noonday, before the men and the women and those that could understand and the ears of all the people that are attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood, here we go with the names again, Mattaniah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Manasseh, and on the right hand and on his left hand, Padiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Haslam and Hashabandana, Zechariah and Methuselah. They listened to the word of God. It meant something to them. They wanted to know what it said. It was their schoolmaster. These people realized that by the reading of this book was going to do something for them.
Amen.
They realized that this is going to be the time that it's going to bring them. Everybody gets the word schoolmaster mixed up. Schoolmaster is not a teacher. A schoolmaster was appointed to bring a person from one place to another.
Right.
The law. Paul says the law is our schoolmaster.
Right.
To bring us to faith in Jesus Christ.
I like it. Amen.
They understood that. They understood that the law was their schoolmaster.
Yeah.
They wanted to know what was said in that book. Why? Because it was going to bring them from the life of living for themselves to a life living with God, doing what He wanted. They wanted to know the mind of God. Ain't that something?
Amen.
They wanted to know what God had to say. And they stood there. You see? They stood while the King James Bible was read. And they stood. They had reverence for it.
Reverence for a King James Bible.
Because they knew that they had in their hand, in their possession, Ezra knew that the very word spoken out of the mouth of God was in his hands. You do realize we have that same here today.
Amen.
And it's in a King James Bible. We have the very words of God in our hands.
Right.
The law was a schoolmaster that led them from living a life filled to self to a life filled with God's law, praise, and worship. The law took them from not knowing how to direct their lives to a God-given them direction in their life. That's what it did. It gave them direction. That law gave them direction because, as a lost person, I had no direction in my life. I had no clue.
Yeah.
I started hearing about the law. It made my ears circumcised. And I'm circumcised. It cut all that stuff off. I could hear for once. And then things started changing. I understood. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
Whoa. I'm way off course with God. I used to think I was real religious until I started hearing that law. Why? Because I was living my life. I was going my own direction. That schoolmaster came and took me by the law, and it took me and brought me to the faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what Paul says the schoolmaster does. It brings you from that law to faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No longer you don't have to trust in the law for any kind of cleansing or salvation or any of that. Now it's my faith in Jesus Christ. How's that? And that's what the law does. It brings you from your faith in yourself, your own direction, to faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a blessing to find. What a blessing. Verse 4 says, we see that he preached from a pulpit. Now they were standing on top of the pulpit. If I get that right, it says that they stood upon.
Yeah.
They were standing on it. And it says that he made the pulpit for this purpose. Now we don't stand on it, but we stand behind one. But you know what this pulpit was, the purpose of it was built for? Be preached behind.
Right.
Be preached the word of God. Here he is on a pulpit, and what's he doing? Preaching the word of God.
Amen.
There's another part. Nehemiah 8:4 says, and the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood, which they had made for this purpose. Verse 5 says, the pulpit was above the people. And two things went on with the reading of the book. Number one is the word was above the people, not equal and not below. The word of God, they reverenced it, and they went, guess what? When we preach the word of God to you, is it on your level? No, it's above you. Is it below you? No, it's not below you either. Because this is the word of God, and it should be held in reverence. And therefore, it's above the people, and it's preached for them. Where else you got to look? You may close your eyes or whatever, but where else you got to look? Up. God wants to see that you have your attention. He wants you to give him your full attention. And so therefore, when men preach, they stand up on a platform of wood behind a pulpit, and they preach the word of God, just like they did in Nehemiah.
Amen.
They're standing on that wood, preaching it. Preaching it. Do I believe that this Bible is equal with me? Do I really have the audacity to say this Bible is below me? This Bible is so far above me.
Right.
And that's why it's preached the way it is. I believe they get that out of Nehemiah 8. I could be wrong. It just makes sense. Number one, the people, it was not equal, not below, but above the people. They had a reverence and respect for the Word of God. And number two, when Ezra started to read, the people stood. Why? They knew. Let me turn my page here. I don't have it like Pastor Haynes can do it. They knew they were in the presence of God's holy word.
Amen.
In Ezra's hand, he knew he was holding the very first, very words of God from his mouth. And they were about to hear the holy words of God. They were about to hear the holy words of God. You know, that's one thing America's lost, even those in the churches today, is they don't look at the Bible as God's holy word. There's a lot of King James believers out there. You know, they'll fight for it and all this and that. But you know what they're fighting for? Their own good. They're not fighting because this is the Word of God. That's not what they're defending. They're defending what they believe. They're not defending what really the King James Bible is, and it is the Word of God.
Amen.
It is the very spoken Word of God. It is the power to change lives.
Yes.
It has the power to convict. It has the power to make happy. He says, preach the Word. Exhort. Rebuke. And did I say that wrong? I get things mixed up. Why does it say preach that? Because that's what the Word does.
Right.
Power in that thing, man. Power. Man, I'll just tell you. And I'm not bragging, but in the last few months, I think I might have missed my Bible reading one time. And I thought I was going to die. I just had the worst day ever.
Amen.
I can't leave. I'm to the point in my life, and it's not nothing big. I have a bad day when I know that I left God out there. You know, I didn't pay any attention to Him, and you know, He's waiting for me. You know, we meet up together in the morning. I pray and I read, and you know, He looks forward to that time. I look forward to it because I need the direction. I need the strength for the day. And when I blow that off, I'm just telling you, man, it's a bad day. Amy knows. She knows. Ask her what happens to her when she doesn't read for the day.
Yeah.
A carnal, fleshly, nasty, everything that could go wrong does go wrong. And go, you know, it's not worth it. You know, starting tomorrow, I got to work 6 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. So I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go, man, why are you getting up that early? So I can pray and read. I'm not stupid.
Amen.
I'm praying and reading before I leave the house. You better believe that. Dude. Hey, you think I'll be up at 4 o'clock, eh? You know I will. I love reading the Word, and I'm going to stay in it. I'm going to read verses 6 through 12 here. Well, I'm almost done. 6 through 12. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen and Amen, with lifting up their hands and bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord, their faces to the ground. And Jehoshua and Bani and Shebiah and Jamin and Eklub and Shebethiah, Hodijah, Masena, Kelita, Ezraiah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Trishatta, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites taught the people and said unto the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Amen. You believe that? People got under conviction.
Right.
We heard somebody say the other day in the morning breakfast, I told my Sunday school class, you can go to Africa and preach to 10 people, 5 of them will get saved. You come and preach to 100 people in America, none of them get bothered by
yeah.
it.
That's right.
I'm just saying, that's the truth here. I mean, well, these people here, they knew when they heard the words of the law, it broke Amen. Them up, man. They're weeping and, Lord, they're on the ground and they're praising Lord. I mean, it's got broke. They got broke.
Amen.
It doesn't happen like that in America no more. I mean, I forgot where I was. Okay. Number 10. They said, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. You see, he sent them out to help people. Sent them out to help people. You know, when Christians get saved, how many of us are really stepping out there to go help somebody?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about for your glory. I'm talking about when you don't have any money and you're going to pull out your last what you have to give to somebody. You're going one way, but somebody really needs to get somewhere to be out of your way and you're going to go do it anyway. I mean, what are you really doing out there? You know, if people aren't watching, what are you really doing when people aren't watching you? What are you doing with your children? What are you doing with your mother, your aunts, your uncles?
Right.
What are you doing with your family? How are you treating them? What are we doing? I'm going to say we because I get messed up. What are we doing? These people are getting ready to go out and feed people.
Right.
Number 11, so the Levites stilled the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. This is what they did. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and to make great mirth because they understood the words that were declared unto them. When you understand, Brother McVeigh preached last night that people don't have an understanding anymore. They can't hear the word. They don't have an understanding of the Bible. I'm telling you now, when you have an understanding of the Bible, you start doing things. It moves you to do things. It stirs you up to get you out there to do things. You're not going to just sit there anymore. It's going to move something in your life.
Amen.
What happened in verse 12? And it says, and the people went their way. They did exactly what they were told. Why? And look at the last half. It says, because they understood the words that were declared unto them. They understood what had to be done. They understood that somebody was sending them out. You know, when the man of God sends you out and asks you to do something and you grumble and gripe and complain, I mean, my goodness, really? When God says, hey, I need you, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You have 5 days to do whatever you want. I asked for 2 and we can't do that. That means you don't have understanding enough. You don't have the understanding God wants you to have.
Right.
But like I said, we can't break that. That's got to be on their own. By hearing the word of God, the people were moved and stirred. They worshiped God after hearing his holy word. I just remember, I forgot where we were. And, they call it the worship. Some worship broke out. And you know what? It might. It probably did. It was a good time in the Lord. I mean, it was just some good singing going on and this and that. But I'm just telling you now, it's very far and few that you see churches doing any kind of worship anymore. We can sing songs, and Pastor Haynes made us re-sing the Sunday school song. Why? Absolutely dead. There was no worship in Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely dead.
Right. Set the pace for the day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Plowed that ground. Got it ready. And then when the whole 11 o'clock service, I just couldn't believe it. I got up and almost had tears in my eyes and shook the pastor's hand and said, man, I needed that.
Yep. Amen.
And it started right there when he said, hey, let's do this the right way.
That's right.
That's right. Amen. We had a good Sunday school class too, didn't we? Good preaching went down there. It was a good day. Couldn't pay me enough money to give this up. It stirred something in there. They just want what they just heard. Verse 10, we see the man God sends them out to do something.
Right.
With what they now have. Guess what? They didn't just stand there. They went out and did what the word of God and man told them to do. They didn't just hang onto it for themselves. They went out and shared. Verse 12 says, and all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions. Remember, he said, send portions to those who don't have. They shared. They went out and shared what they had. How many of us are out there sharing what we have? How many of us are out there sharing our portion of what Jesus Christ has given us? And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about life. A life change. Some hope. Something that they can have besides looking at their self, besides looking at a psychiatrist, besides looking at pills and drugs and alcohol. How come we're not out there giving them our portion? Well, they would desire that.
Amen.
Remember, he says, go and prepare those for those who don't have any. There's a lost and dying world going to hell today, and how many of us are out there helping them?
Amen.
Getting out there and sharing our portion. Getting out there and sharing our portion. If you can't talk to somebody, you have to hand out a tract or something. But don't hold on to it. Don't be stingy with what you have. Or maybe you just don't have it and you don't want to share it because you don't have it.
Yeah.
God knows. God's the only one who could judge a lost or saved person.
Right.
But maybe you just don't have it. Because they understood the words that were declared unto them.
Yeah.
Old Testament, New Testament. Jesus makes it clear you're not going to understand the word if you're not His. They hear my words. Oh, they hear me. My sheep hear me. You know, before I got saved, I thought I had an understanding of this Bible. When I got out of prison, you asked my wife. She said, "Man, you know all that Bible. You know NIV. You know the Quran and the Torah. I knew all that stuff. As God is my witness, I could sit here and just about quote everything to you." I'm just telling you now, God took all that garbage from me.
Amen.
And He's given me a King James Bible. Commentaries? Stacks of them. My cousin used to buy them for me and send them to me. I'm just telling you now, my understanding was open when I got saved. I had some understanding before salvation. But my understanding truly got open after
Amen.
Salvation.
Amen.
Really. Why? Because I understood His words. That's what I understand. And He's given that to me. Imagine that. And the man of God, reading the word, had help in teaching others to understand.
Amen.
God didn't make Ezra go out there and do this alone. Go ahead and read who's on the left and go ahead and read who's on the right. And what's it say they did? It says 8:7. Here's all the names that are standing there and the Levites. And it says, they caused the people to understand the law and the people stood in their place. All those men were there to help the man of God. To help him to understand. How many of us are out there helping our pastor to help people understand? To get it in here. You look church after church after church. There's always people who are out there to help the man of God. To help these people understand.
Yeah.
Hey listen. Just because you're a lady doesn't mean you can't go out there and share something to your friends and all that stuff. It didn't say keep your mouth closed outside at home to your friends. Get them in. Let's go out there and show them. Go out there and live a life that's worth. They can see it's worth living because the way Christians live today, who would want our lives? They hear all the bickering and the complaining. They see the churches closing down by the dozens. They say, why do I want to come into a place like that?
Right.
Sad, sad. So there's people that should be helping the man of God. So, and it says, so they read in the book, verse 8. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. Not another book. Not something some man wrote.
Right.
The word of God, distinctly. That's something how that word's used. And gave the sense. And caused them to understand the reading. Verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tishretha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites taught the people. See that? They were out there teaching the people. You know, we have Sunday school teachers, both men and women. You know what they're doing? They're teaching the people.
Amen.
These are our future people right here.
Right.
These little ones are our future people.
Right.
Man of God can't go out there and reach them all by himself. Kill himself doing that. But there's those of us that are sitting in this church pew that are adults that can go out and do it. You have to go out soul winning. I'm just telling you. You got, you know, every one of us, we should have family members sitting in these pews. All of us should. That's just how we should be. And we're all guilty of messing that up. Tell me we're not. You know it's true. You know, I've been really trying to take some time and get to Amy's side of the family and, you know, stuff like that. Just really, for the first time, really open it up to them like never before. Because the Lord just pricked my heart, talked to them.
Amen.
So I'm talking to them.
Amen.
And they're a hard bunch. You know, on our side of the family, we're all roughneck and all that kind of stuff. You can pretty much talk to us any way you want. But Amy's side of the family is not like that. You got to be tender and you got to watch every little tiny word. And, I mean, just, so it's hard. But we did it. I think it went well. Now it's in the Lord's hand. There's nothing else we could do. He says, and the Levites taught the people and said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the law. You know, I remember the day I got saved. I mean, I was absolutely crying. I mean, just tears gushing. Why? Because I saw for the very first time where I really was in front of a holy God. Just crying. And, you know, God said, don't worry. He took my hand and said, don't have to weep anymore. Come on. It's over.
Amen.
How wonderful is that? The people also wept when they heard the words of the law. Why? It showed them where they stood with God. It showed them what they really were. It broke them when they seen the true holiness of God and the wretched state of mankind. They understood and they broke their hearts. This is why the reading and studying the Bible is so important. It changes lives. It changes attitudes towards the house of God. And it shows people what they really are and where they stand before God. And He has the remedy. The King James Bible, the very words of God in our hands for our benefit. That's why we should honor the King James Bible. That's why we should have respect and reverence for that King James Bible and have it with us. Have it with us. That's all I have, Pastor.